talk about a famous question. Starts with mukkah number one. A pasuk, we all know, don't worry if you didn't get them cursed yet, you all know mukkah number one. Why do we sit in sukkahs? It says one place in the Torah to sit in sukkahs. We landed on the first day. If you keep 2 days, we landed on the first 2 days. L'man yidu d'rosechem. Kiva sukkos so shatis b'neishol b'otziyo sama yertzim tzrayim b'neishol l'kechem. Why do we sit in sukkahs? So we will remember throughout the generation that Hashem caused us to dwell in sukkos when we left Mitzrayim. We know there's a machlokes between, not exactly clear who said which, Rekiva or Lazar about whether it's sukkos mamish, we dwelt in booths when we went through the desert, or another kavod. But either way, it reminds us of what happened when we left Mitzrayim. The obvious question that all the Rishonim are bothered by is, what's the obvious question? Why on the 15th of Tishrei? If it reminds us of what happened when we left Mitzrayim, we should do it in Nisan. Maybe we should just sit in sukkahs during Pesach when we eat our matzah and take care of everything in one fell swoop, or it could be any random time of the year. Why dafka should the remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim be during Tishrei when we left Mitzrayim in Nisan? Thank you, Rabbi Shlita. Okay, so the Ibn Ezra has a very shot answer. Anyone who knows a little about Rishonim and Chumash can tell me, you think the Ibn Ezra holds that sukkahs are anoni akavod or sukkahs mamish? Sukkahs mamish, Ibn Ezra, Pashtun, he doesn't like to interpret according to Midrashim. He says it means booths. Okay, so how did that help me answer this question? Look at number two. Kiva sukkah, show you osam achush abri yamsuf sukkahs. They made booths to dwell in after they crossed the yamsuf. Yafki Midrash Sinai under some Kurbi Shana, and likewise in Midrash Sinai, they were already a year by then. Chen Mina call Hamachos. Like all camps. Hine Gamzua Moy Zechus of Tri. Sukkah also Zechus is a Tri, just like Pesach. The Yishal show a Lama Betishrei Zosav Eflin. If you ask if it's Zechus is a Tri, why is it in Tishrei and not in Nisan? Yesh Lahashiv Ki Anna Shavah Yomachan Yomam. It says before in the Chumash, there is a cloud from Hashem on top of them during the day. Vashemesh lo yakim. They didn't eat shade from the sun because there was an anan. When we most tishrei chilu asu sukkos b'avur akor, there was an anan on top. That's all it says in Shuvah Shel Mikra. So they didn't eat shade from the sun in the summer. But in the winter, it doesn't say there are anan on the sides of the machne in Shuvah Shel Mikra. It's not in the sukkim. So in the winter, it was cold. They built themselves sukkos to keep out the cold. So says the Ibn Ezra, just like when they left Mitzrayim, when it started to get cold outside, they built booths to protect them from the cold. Likewise, we build booths when they did in the fall. And when does the fall start? On Sukkot time. Okay, that's the answer of the Ibn Ezra. The Torah gives a famous answer. Most people know the answer of the Torah. Not everyone understands it correctly. Most people know the answer of the Torah. Says the Torah number three. He says, V'af lishiyot sanu mitzrayim chodesh nisan lo tzivanu laso sukkah v'oso azman. Lefishu you most kites. The derekal adam lasu sukkah litzel lohaisadi keres asiyasinu b'hem shein lemitzvah sabore isvara. Hashem did not command us to build sukkahs in the spring when we left Mitzrayim, because that's the beginning of the summer, and everyone builds a sukkah then. It's like everyone puts a tarp on top of their deck or something. They didn't have tarps in those days; they just had like branches. So everyone builds a sukkah, and they want to sit outside in the nice weather and get shade from the sun. And then it wouldn't be noticeable they were doing it for a mitzvah. It would just look like the minhag of everyone in those days. Therefore, Hashem told us to make the sukkah in the seventh month, in Tishrei, which is the rainy season. The derech of everyone to leave their sukkah and go to their house. He says so it'll be clear we're doing it for religious reasons and not just convenience. In the spring, everyone makes a sukkah, even if they're goyim, they make a sukkah. It's nice weather. In the fall, the goyim are packing up their sukkahs and going to their houses, and we're building a sukkah, so it's clear we're doing it for religious reasons, and it's sort of like the Pesach Seder. We do weird things. The kids ask, why are you doing it? We say, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We do weird things. The kids ask, why are you doing it? And everyone knows, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Now, even though in many years it's beautiful weather in Eretz Yisrael sukkahs time, this year rained a little bit. You know, those who were faint-hearted ate inside. Well, once a court. But usually it's nice weather sukkahs. But still, if you think about when you build the sukkah, You build this up in the spring because it's going to be nice weather all summer long. You'll have like 4 or 5 months to benefit from it. Even if it's nice outside in sukkah time, no guy would build a sukkah in September. Let's say it was September, not a week, right? Not October. No guy would build a sukkah in September, because even if it's not nice weather now, they're going to have to take it down in a few weeks when it starts raining, right? So it's the end of the nice weather. You never build a sukkah at the end of the nice weather. You start thinking of packing up your campsite at the end of the nice weather. Therefore, it's clear we're doing it for religious reasons. That's the Torah. Says the Rambam, number 4 in the Morning Guchen. V'amnam sukkahs shir ha-kavana bo'asasam ha-simcha. Sukkahs, which is sasam ha-simcha, it's v'ansam ha-seinu, it's a time of rejoicing. Hushivas yamin, neshis parsim ha-inyan. The Rambam in the Morning Guchen, at the latter half of the third book of Morning Guchen, explains the reasons for all the mitzvahs. What's the reason for Sukkot? Well, it's 7 days in order that it be very noticeable and widespread, publicized. A one-day holiday, not everyone will know that. 7-day holiday, everyone knows that. It's in the newspaper. V'hayosef is at Perek, and why is it at this time of the year? He need bear at Torah Sibas. The Torah explained the reason. Because you gather in your crops. What's special at gathering your crops? It's the end of the agricultural year. It's like we gathered in our crops. So what's special at gathering our crops? What does that have to do with anything? He says, well, once you gather in your crops, then you have rest and you have free time from necessary activities. Meaning, why do we make a special holiday at the harvest season? Because now we have free time. The farmers, right? All our ancestors were once farmers. Right? Keep in mind, nowadays everyone picks their own job. In the old days, everyone was a farmer in time of Kodesh. So everyone was a farmer. Everyone had to work really hard in the summer. Right? That's like, I don't know, that's what they told me when I was a kid. Why don't they have school in the summer? Well, because in the old days, when they first settled Europe and America and whatever, all the kids had to work on the farm in the summer. So they couldn't have school. So, and then they just decided they wouldn't listen because it was too hot outside, so they kept it that way. But the we're all busy during the whole agricultural season. We're only free when the season's over. So the harvest, the gathering, we gather in all our crops, put them all in the silo, everything's done. Now we have time for a holiday. For Zohar, Aristo, Mamar, Chim, Sefer, Amidos, Aristotle wrote in the 9th book of the Nicomachean Ethics, Shekein, Haya, Ha'inyan, of course, Mumus, Ekadim. All the old nations used to make a holiday at that time. Amar b'zeh loshen, karbonos hakdum v'kibutzim ha'yuach v'isum ha'tfuos v'apiros ki'ilu ha'yuach karbonos de'arvacha v'zeh loshono v'ochi. As he says, in the old days, all the nations used to bring karbonos and have big gatherings after they gather in all their crops, as if it was because now they had free time. V'ochi, shivas ha'sukkah v'esei yefshul savla, also it's a nice season to live in the sukkah. Ein chom gadav lo matav etzayr, it's not too hot, like July and August. It's not too much rain, like November, December. Most years it doesn't rain at all in Sukkot in the Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it's good weather. It's not a secret of the Torah. The Torah might also admit it's good weather. So it's not the time to build a Sukkot, but it's good weather nonetheless. Says the Rambam, very pshatic, maybe a little too pshatic, a little too commonsensical, logical reasons why Sukkot's in Tishrei. Number one, we have free time from work because we finished all the farming. And number two, it's nice weather. So that's why we do it then. But we wouldn't do it in the other times of the year because either it's bad weather or we're too busy on the farm. Okay, very practical reason. Usually we think the bits of the Torah are a little more philosophical and not just quite that practical, like you wouldn't find in Aristotle necessarily. But okay, that's the Rambam. The Ramban gives one other shot, number 5. Kiva sukas oshavtis b'nei Yisrael. He also gives a very practical shot. Anani akavud, Lashon Rashi. Rashi paskins that sukas does not mean booths, it means anani ha-kavud. It means clouds of glory. Anyone know who else, perhaps more significantly, paskins that sukkot means anani akavud? Okay, and the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins on the sukkah that sukkahs means anani akavud. If you ask why did the Shulchan Aruch have to paskin issues of how to interpret a pasuk in Chumash, which is not usually the Shulchan Aruch's business, the answer is because the Gemara in the beginning of sukkah implies that part of the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah is the man yedidor seichem, to know what it's about. Maybe you're only mekayin the mitzvah properly if you understand what it stands for. So you have to know what it stands for. So you have to know. It reminds us of Nanei Kavod. Or of Sukkot's Mamash, the Shavanar, Pasa Nanei Kavod. So quotes the Ramban from Rashi. The Ramban thinks that's Pshat. Why does he think Pshat is that it's clouds of glory and not booths? Pshat sounds to me like booths. Even Ezra like booths. Says no, because Pshat is not just what the words mean. Pshat is what makes common sense. Does it make common sense we should have a holiday to remember living in booths? Well, it's like anyone can live in a booth. You know, I don't know, some tribe in the Brazilian rainforest to make loops. That's not significant. What's significant is the Nanai Kaaba. That's noteworthy. So he says, pshat, we wouldn't make a holiday over something that wasn't a miracle. And an Nanai Kaaba are a miracle. He gave us an Nanai Kaaba like a sukkah. He quotes a pasuk from Yeshaya that when Mashiach comes, Hashem will put us in a Nanai Kaaba, as it says, the Anan Yoman, which is called the Sukkah. So he says it is true to Shal Mikra. In Yeshaya, the Anan HaKavod is called the Sukkah. So Sukkah means Anan HaKavod. Fair enough. Since the Torah already said that Hashem's cloud was on them during the day and pillar of fire at night, Amar Stam, Kyo Sukkah Zoshavti. Torah said, Stam, I put you in Sukkah, Shasislam, and Anan HaKavod, Sukkah Zoghane Leim. How did the Torah expect us to know that Sukkah means Anan HaKavod? Because it's said in the Torah, no Midrashim necessary, only in the Torah. It's said in the Torah that Hashem's Anan, Hashem's cloud, was on our Machaneh. So obviously, what did Hashem put us in? He put us in a cloud. It said. It never said in the Torah we built booths. It only said Hashem put clouds. So obviously, Sukkos means clouds. He thinks that's true to Shal Mikra. Okay, you can argue the Ibn Ezra doesn't, but it's a good tainus. V'hinei tziva. B'tchilas nosacham abzichrin tzitzayim b'klutch of mo'ado. In the beginning of the summer, meaning the vernal equinox time, to remember it says in its time, the tziva b'zichron and nesa kaim and aslim kol yimei midasim v'midbar, but chilas was like shamim. And in the autumnal equinox, around the autumnal equinox, the beginning of the winter, he commanded us to remember the nes that happened every day throughout the desert of Anan HaKavod. So what does he say? He says very pashut. He says, Yitzias Mitzrayim happened once. So we celebrated and commemorated on that day. On Tetvav Nisan, the beginning of this summer spring. The beginning of the spring summer. The cloud, the Anan HaKavod, were there every day for 40 years. So if they were there every day for 40 years, we could do it any time of the year. We could commemorate it because it happened every day. What makes the most sense? Well, if we have one on Tetvav Nisan, it makes the most sense, I think, is what he's trying to say, to remember it as often as possible, not to let too much time elapse. So if we have one Tetvav Nisan, remember the other thing, Tetvav Tishrei, and every 6 months you'll have a reminder to see it's Mitzrayim. So that's what he says. Really, every day we had Sukkot, and therefore it makes sense to put it the opposite. 6 months away from Pesach, every 6 months we have remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then he quotes the Ibn Ezra. He says, the Aldasa Omer Sukkas Mamash also lay mechilu asosu b'chilas achor v'nei kor k'minig ha-machanos v'lechein tziva b'het b'zman hazeh.
The
name says, according to Ibn Ezra, who he doesn't quote by name here, says, if you hold it Sukkot Mamish, then they only built booths when it got cold outside in the beginning of the winter, at this time of the year, in Tishrei. And then it makes sense. Then what was the miracle, if you hold Sukkot Mamish? The miracle was not that we lived in booths. Anyone, any caveman can make a booth. Well, not the caveman, he's in a cave. Any primitive tribesman can make a booth. But the Chiddush was that all we had was booths. We didn't have cities, we didn't have houses, we didn't have civilization. And nonetheless, we made it through the Midbar. That's a miracle. How did we make it through a Midbar without civilization, without cities and houses? After all, how are we protected from all the big sandstorm and from the snakes and scorpions? And how do we get food and water, etc.? So therefore, it reminds us of the miracle. Okay, so far we've seen four pshatim that I don't want to focus on. One pshat, let's review. Ibn Ezra says, if it was actual booths, Sukkot Mamash, they only built them when it got cold outside in Tishrei. Second shot, the Torah, so that it won't just look like convenience. People will know it's for a religious reason. They'll know it has a deeper meaning. So we build it, not in the beginning of the summer, when the Goyim build huts, but at the end of the summer, when a normal person would take down his hut, because it's going to rain soon, we build the hut. So everyone will wonder why, and we'll tell them why. Third shot, Rambam or Nevuchim. The farmer has free time now. It's the only time of the year the farmer doesn't have to work, since it's after gathering the crops, and it's nice weather outside. Fourth shot, the Ramban says, Anan HaKavod were there every day, so you could have made it any day of the year. So you might as well make it 6 months away from Pesach, and that way you'll cover the whole year with remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rashbam says something, I think that's perhaps strikes us a little deeper. The Rashbam number 6. Lamanya du Dorotechem. Pshuto, Kidivrei Ha'omrim Mamasechet Sukkah Mamash. Says the Pshat is like the Manda Omar that it was booths. Zeo Tamashal Dabrin. This is the reason. You should make a Sukkot holiday when you gather in from your threshing floor, which is where you thresh the grain, and from your wine press, where you made your wine. When you gather in the produce of the land, your houses are full of all good things, of grain and oil, grain and wine and oil. Laman tiz karu. To remember that Hashem caused us to dwell in booths. He supported us, helped us live when we dwelt in booths in the Midbar for 40 years without civilization and without any land. And then you'll bless Hashem who gave you an inheritance, who gave you land, and your house is full of all the good things. You won't say in your hearts, we don't say for Dvarim, the worst thing that could happen. What is Hashem worried about in Sefer Dvarim? Hashem is worried about, now you're in the desert. Hashem says it again and again. Now you're in the desert, How do you get food? From Hashem. You know, you ever saw say, you know, Parnassah comes from Shemayim? You know, in the desert, Parnassah actually came from Shemayim, right? The man came down from Shemayim. Your water is miraculous. Your everything is miraculous. Obviously, you vent Hashem, like everyone said Hamotzi and benched with Kavana in the Midbar. Many have heard him right that they, instead of saying Hamotzi Lechem from the Aretz, they said Baruch Hashem Lekein Lechem Hamotzi Lechem in Hashemayim, because the man came from the Shemayim. But of course, because like that's where they got their food from. Like, of course, thank you, Hashem. It miraculously, the man appeared on our doorstep. You go into Eretz Yisrael, life is different. Like nowadays, right? We don't have an Eretz Yisrael. You're not supposed to have an Eis Nigla. Everything might be an Eis Nigla. You're not supposed to have an Eis Nigla. The point of going into Eretz Yisrael was that you live a natural life. How do you get food? You don't wait for a month to come from heaven. You work. You farm. You work very hard. You do all those things in like the Lamatas Avos Malacha that we don't know what they are. That's what you have to do in order to get bread. I actually know what they are. But they're complicated to explain. It's not worth explaining them all now. I even know Osa Shnei Batinim. But that took me a long time to figure out. But getting back to our topic. What's the point? You go into Eretz Yisrael and you say, hey, I did it myself. I get credit myself. You forget Hashem. Someone who lives by miracles, it's very easy to remember Hashem. Someone who supports himself, who has a good job and supports himself, it's much harder to remember Hashem. You know, I don't know all the different professions nowadays, but I bet that some businessmen are much more religious. They're like, you know, like every day, if they don't close the deal, they're in trouble. Right? Every day they get up in the morning and say, Hashem, I need help closing this deal. Like, I don't know if it'll close or not. I can't do it on my own. It's not up to me whether the deal closes. It's up to the other guy. It's up to circumstances. Hashem, help me out. And the other side of the accountant, he goes into work every day, you know, at the Ernst & Young or PricewaterhouseCoopers or whatever they call them nowadays. He goes in, he does his work, he gets a paycheck at the end of the month. He's like, I take care of myself. It's much harder to remember Hashem's behind that. Let's think about, for a second, our ancestors when they were all farmers. Not because we're all going to be farmers, but we have to understand what they were going through to understand what it means to us. Once upon a time, our ancestors were all farmers. Let's remember what the year was like. The winter, what happened? In the winter, you planted your seeds, right? You sowed your seeds in the winter. You plowed, right? Mishnah Shabbos, 39 o'clock. You plowed and you sowed your seeds. Then it rained and it made them grow. And then they grew. Chag Ha'aviv, Pesach is when they start sprouting, right? Barely start, do the very first ones start growing. Then they grow a little more. Shavuos is Chag HaKatsir, the harvest festival. You harvest them, right? Remember you take that like big half circle, half moon knife, and you cut them all. Why the half moon knife? It's like you take in your hand a whole bunch of wheat stalks like this, and it's like a circle work, and you cut them with that circle thing. And then you do all the other things, right? You take them and you thresh them and you winnow them and sort them and sift them, which means that you have your like oxes pull these like big planks with nails out of them to break the husks that the wheat grains are in. Then you take the big pitchfork and you throw it up in the wind on a windy day, and the light husks like go 10 meters and the hard actual grains only go 2 meters in the wind. And you have a pile of grain separated from the husks. Then you take up pebbles, bogar, and then what do you do? Why do you only gather it in Sukkot, by the way? That all happened like Shavuos. Shavuot is Chag HaKatzir, is the harvest. How long does it take to thresh and winnow? What happened till Sukkos? Anyone know? Rashi says it in Chumash and in Shas a few times. I only know it from Rashi. I'm not like a historian who knows that part. I just read Rashi. So if you learn Chumash with Rashi and Shas with Rashi, you'll come across it every once in a while. He says it's very pashut. Remember, there was no refrigeration then. How do you get everything before refrigeration? How do you preserve things? If the harvest season is like Pesach, Shavuot, how do you have food to eat all year long? If you can't put it in the fridge and you can't vacuum pack or anything. Anyone know ways to like keep food from spoiling without electricity? You can salt them. You can salt your meat to preserve it, but you can't really salt wheat. And in those days, their main source of life, the staff of life, was wheat, was bread. Everything else was a luxury. There's not enough to eat of anything else. It's the bread that made you full and gave you energy to live. So anyone know another way to keep things for a long time from spoiling without electricity? What?
Don't cook it.
But what do you mean? If I have an apple and I don't cook it, if I have a tomato and I don't cook it, it'll still spoil. Dry it. Right? If you dry food, it won't spoil, right? Dry food, only moisture spoils. So for example, if I go to the supermarket, I can buy flour or rice or beans that are not refrigerated and not vacuum packed, just in a plain bag, because they're dry, they'll never spoil. They'll last for years and years, unless I put them someplace damp. In which case, they'll get infested and there'll be a whole problem with cockroaches to eat them and they'll eventually spoil. So, how do you dry your foods without electricity? So what did they do? They harvested on Shavuot in Eretz Yisrael and all countries nearby in the Middle East. It doesn't rain in the summer. It only rains in the winter. So they harvested Shavuot time. They left it out in the field to dry in the hot, baking summer sun all summer. All summer, the sun all summer dried them, dried the wheat grains, till they couldn't spoil anymore. And then they had to gather them in before the rain started. Because once it rained, then oy vavoy, right? Like if you say Mashmaruch Mordegashim or Saint Talamatar in the summer, you have to go back and repeat Shemona Esrei. Because instead of asking Hashem for a bracha, you're asking Hashem for a klala. Because our ancestors, if it rained in the summer, they were in trouble. All their wheat would get wet. It might not have time to dry enough. It would spoil. It would only last 2 months instead of all year. And that means 2 months from now, in October, they would run out of wheat and they would have no food to eat until next April, which means they would all die. In the old days, it was that summer. So, that's why it's really important. Don't say Pink Kalamata in the summer, please. And what was Sukkos? Sukkos was before the rainy season. It dried as much as it's going to dry. Now you gather it all into your house. And now it can't spoil. Now you're set. Now let's think about it. Let's say you're a farmer. You're not the most religious guy ever. But you're a farmer back in the old days. Not the most religious guy ever. You're now planting your seeds in Cheshvan. Or Kislev. What do you need? What do you need in order to have foods to feed your family so your kids won't die? Rain. So, you get up in the morning and you're like, who's going to give me rain? Only one candidate, right? You don't know anyone else who can give you rain. Of course you're a religious guy. You're like, Hashem, please give me rain. Hashem, I need the rain. Right? You are very religious all winter long because you need the rain. Without rain, even nowadays, if it doesn't rain, the farmers could go out of business because nothing will grow, and even though they can just turn on the tap, they can't afford to pay for water from the tap. That will ruin their whole business model, right? If they have to water all their trees with tap water, then they would spend more on water than they would get for selling their produce. Even now, the farmers could have financial crises if it doesn't rain, but no one will die. In those days, if it didn't rain, that's it. Your kids would die. It was that simple. There would be nothing to eat. So a farmer is very religious. Okay, it's growing, harvest season, spring, Spirit HaOmer. He's like, okay, Hashem, I need these things to finish growing. I don't want any blight. I don't want any pests. I don't want any diseases. I don't want any bad weather. I don't want any frost. Hashem, he's very religious. All summer long, he's like, I want these things to dry. Make sure there's no rain, make sure there's no problems, you know, make sure there's no pests, you know, make sure no bugs come and infest them and eat them up, no locusts or anything. No, he's very religious. All of a sudden, The end of the season comes. He packs it all into sacks and likewise takes his wine and oil and puts them into jugs and puts it in his side. It's now basically in his safe. Basically what happened is he worked hard all year. He was nervous. And now the money's in the bank. Right? Ha-ha-sip. The money's in the bank. Now, for the next year, he's set. It's like someone gives you a check in the bank. Money in the bank. Money for the next year. You're relaxed. You're happy. You're rejoicing. And you're also like, boy, I get a lot of credit for that. Right? I worked very hard. And the guy did work very hard. You know, you have to work hard. Nowadays, you also have to work hard. I don't know, there's some problems here. They'll tell you even now in the gym, the hard to make a living. That hasn't changed. But you worked hard. And what's the guy going to say? He's going to say, Kochi v'otzimya, I get credit for everything I did. You know, like the famous joke, right? Guy's late for a super duper business, a whole business appointment in Manhattan. No parking. It's like, Hashem, just give me a park. If you give me a parking spot, I'll put on tefillin every day. No parking. If you give me a parking spot, I'll go to Minyan and put on tefillin every day. All of a sudden, as he finishes saying every day, a car right in front of him pulls out. There's a spot open. He's like, oh, Hashem, I found the spot. I'm okay. Now it sounds silly, right? But ultimately that's human nature, right? When is the danger the guy's going to say, I took care of myself? When he feels he doesn't even got it anymore. When he's got all his money in the bank. When he's gathered in Chag HaAsif, is the most religiously dangerous time of the year, right? You got all your money. You don't need anything anymore. Now, of course, that's ridiculous. Not true. Like, what if marauders come, or people conquer your town, or there's a fire, or what if someone has a heart attack? You know? Meaning, you always need Hashem's protection. But the guy feels on his own. Chag HaSif is the danger of thinking that you get credit for everything you did. And therefore, what does Hashem tell us? Hashem tells us, you know, you feel very good. You now have all your food stored in a big, thick stone house with stone walls. You're in your house, you don't care about the weather, you're all good, you take care of yourself. Hashem says, you know what? Go out into a hut and be vulnerable. Remember that you didn't take care of yourself. If you had to take care of yourself, you'd be in a hut in the Sinai desert. You'd be nothing. Hashem gave you this. Yeah, you worked hard on the land. Who gave you the land? Who gave you everything? Hashem. We need to be reminded that we depend on Hashem when we think we're independent. And therefore, when do we have to remember how we left Mitzrayim? Not remember Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That's in Pesach. Remember that when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, we could not take care of ourselves. We had nothing. We had no houses. We had no agriculture. We had no land. We had no money. We had no parnasa. We had no food. When do we need to remember? And Hashem gave us all that? On Sukkot. It's like, I heard a great mashal once. Why does Hashem give us the mud in the desert? The goal of life is not to be Oklahoma mud forever. The goal of life is, interesting fact. What's the highest Birkas Hananin? Which is the highest bracha before eating? The most chashuv. Hamotzi. What's the most chashuv bracha achrona? Birkat HaMazon, on bread. Why dafka on bread? Why not on apples? Why not on cucumbers? Interesting. Apples and cucumbers, we just pick, Hashem makes them grow and we eat them. Well, we give some little bit of a bracha. Bread doesn't look anything like how it grew. After it grew, we had to thresh and winnow and sift and grind and knead and bake it. We worked so hard to make bread that you think you made the bread yourself. So then you have to remember, no. You have to think Hashem need more for bread. For apples, you have to think Hashem a little. Because it's obvious it came from Hashem. You pick it off the tree. You put it on the tree, grow on the tree. For bread, which doesn't even look like it grew, which you worked so hard on, and you use your human ingenuity and creativity to make something much better than what grew, you might think you deserve the credit. So you have to have an extra brick of the Muslim to thank Hashem. Continues the Rashbam. Says the Rashbam, Mitokach tit nuodol, mishanasno v'nachlo v'atech meim kol tovi, v'al tomur v'alchem kochi v'otzim yodi osli ischayel zeh. Peseders that nimshah parts of Ekev, tishma'un, zokhar, tishkola derech shor li chashem l'kaf zeh, v'im shonav yachin, because I'm on. So it says in Ekev, remember 40 years in the desert, you got the mun. The mun is like training wheels. The point of life is to work hard for a living and thank Hashem for your success. To do your shtadlos and recognize that everything you have comes from Hashem. Hashem started us out with training wheels. He says, you know what? I'll give you mun from heaven and thank me for it. To get used to looking for me in the world. But that's not for adults. That's training wheel for little kids. For adults, you work hard on your own in the natural order and still thank me for it. Who gave you the rain? Who gave you the land in the first place? Who gave you everything? That's the mom trained us to look a little deeper and see the Yad Hashem in everything we do. And therefore he says, V'lama ninitzavka la'soscha, why in Parsh Ekev did Hashem command us to do all this? Ki Hashem alakech mi'chal eretz tova v'yachal tzadot v'ram lo'vechem shachat Hashem alakech v'yamart v'lovavcha etz pochi v'otzo yodi asu li'sachal ezev zarkart Hashem alakech ki yonosin l'chokoch l'asas chayil. Because Hashem is giving us Eretz Yisrael, we'll have great things, we'll credit ourselves. After all, I worked hard for a living. Why is it my credit? I do get a little credit for working hard. But no one's going to succeed with hard work without siyata d'shmaya. L'chein yotzim bottom lane kol tov v'anasipa. We leave our houses daf when our houses are set. When our house is a fortress, when our house is lacking nothing, when we have all our food in our house for the next year and all the money and everything we need, we leave our houses. To remind us that we started out with nothing, or humble origins. That's why Shem made Sukkot in Tishrei, because not primarily for Yetziat Mitzrayim. That would have been a Nisan. But to remind us, in the time of the year we're likely to forget who gave us everything we have, to remind us that we had nothing, that we didn't even have a house to bring our food into, we didn't have a piece of land to farm, and Hashem gave us everything we have. Yeah, I think that's a very relevant message, even more relevant for modern man than it was in his days, right? Because in our modern era, it's so easy to think that we take care of everything. Even if it doesn't rain, we don't care. Okay, if it doesn't rain, we water our lawns and we pay a little extra on the water bill. What's the big deal? You know, we're like, we take care of ourselves. We have technology, we have everything. You know, we have a good education, we have a good job. It's so hard to, you know, chas v'shalom, when a crisis happens, someone has a health problem. Someone as they get laid off at work. Someone as, when he built tzaras, they remember Hashem. But we don't want to have that tzaras to remember Hashem. We want to remember Hashem all the time. We want to see Hashem's Yad Hashem behind the temple all the time. So that's exactly what Sukkot is about. Remember, even though it seems like you're taking care of yourself, that's only when you look at the surface and you don't look deep. That's only when you want to fool yourself. You would have nothing without Hashem. How did you even... You got a job, so you got a college degree, whatever it means. Who even gave you, who made you born in a normal family when you sent you to college in the first place? Right? Who made you born in a society where they could afford to give you an education? Who gave you anything? Obviously, everything comes from Hashem, and it behooves us to remember that. I just want to, still have more Makoros. I don't know if we're going to get to all of them. We've done 6 out of 24. But I think there's perhaps even another angle. The Rashbam, I think, is very true and very relevant for us. What is Chag HaSukkos reminding us of? It's reminding us of our philosophical helplessness, even though physically it seems like we take care of ourselves. But there could be a totally different angle as well. If you look in the Medrash number 7, it says already, Amar of Ovin, Moshel Shnayim Shenichdu Yitzal Adayim. If we think about it, even before the Medrash, Sukkos in Tishrei. Is Sukkos the only thing in Tishrei? That's not a trick question. It really is an easy question. Right? Is Sukkot the only thing in Tishrei? No, we just finished Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Right? As a matter of fact, maybe Rosh Hashanah Rav is the end of the dinner of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Does Sukkot have anything to do with Rosh Hashanah Rav and Yom Kippur? Seemingly not. No one until now thought it did, right? None of the Rishonim thought it did. Not the Torah, not the Ibn Ezra, not the Rambam, not the Ramban, not the Rashbam. Sukkot is, Kibas Sukkot so Shavti Yipnei Yisrael Wotzi Yotami Yitzvah Freyim. How we left Mitzrayim and we were protected by Sukkot. That doesn't seem to have anything directly to do with Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. I mean, they're all about Hashem. Okay, wonderful. So is the whole Torah. Right? Doesn't seem to be a connection, but maybe there's some connection. There's one hint in Chazal, number 7, by Yikarava, Amar Rav Avin, Moshel Shnayim Shnitzel Yitzel Adayim V'let Anan Yadin Man Hu Notzeach. Two warring parties came before a judge, the Pasim, who was right, who was wrong, who would win, who would lose. And how do you know who won the court case? Whoever is holding something up with their hands is a victory sign, we know he won. The Jews versus their enemies. Go on Rosh Hashanah to be judged. Who's going to live, who's going to die, right? As it says in the zichronot, al hamadinot lo yeyamer. Ezol acherev, etc. Right? On the countries. Which country's going to win? Which country's going to lose? Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? And we don't know who won. El Mamash Yisrael Yotzin from the Kaddish Baruch Hu Lulvein Ve'etrogein Be'yodan on the Yodin Yisrael Inu Nitzuchai Yalafika Chmoshim Mazal Yisrael Vermelam Lukach becoming Yom Rishon. So the Jews parade their lulav and etrog. They hold up their spears as a victory, their lulav and etrog as a victory sign. Whoever emerges in the court going like this is the winner. Whoever goes like this is the loser. That's what we know the Jews wanted then. Now what does this mean? Not so clear. The lulav and etrog are celebrating. I don't know all the makoros here. But the Rambam says they're celebrating the harvest, the asif, all the beautiful fruits. Tell the Medrash, no, they're celebrating Rosh Hashanah. They're celebrating a good dinner Rosh Hashanah. What's the connection between, why would there be a connection between Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah? Like, we all intuitively feel it would make sense. Like, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, and then 4 days later is Sukkot. But what's the connection? So, okay, the Hamik Dover, the Netziv, maybe we won't read it inside. He continued the theme of the Medrash, and he says, you know what? When armies were doing wars, they would also build booths and live in them to celebrate and party at the battlefield. So we built booths that shows you on the war. That's got to be a little deeper than that. You know, it might be true, but there's got to be something a little deeper than that. What is the connection between Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah and Kippur that fits the pasuk of Kibas Sukkot Shafti Bnei Israel Botziyo Tami Yerz Mitzrayim? Says the Gra, this is a famous Gra, maybe you're aware of this Gra. Number 9. Leman Yidu Dorotechem Kiva Sukkot Oshati Bnei Yisrael Votziyot Tamei Eretz Mitzrayim. Hinei Rabin Makshem Lo Manachu Osem Sukkot Petishrei. Kevin Shu Negid Hekev Hanani Hakavet Hayurah Lasoto Benisan. Kiva Nisan Hayetzchila Hekev Hanani. The Gra assumes Hanani Hakavet. Why do we do it in Tishrei? If it's remember Hashem surrounding us with Hanani Hakavet, it should be in Nisan. Because in Nisan we got the Hanani Hakavet. Amnam Yishlomar, you could say, Viksha Asuas HaEgel Nistalku Hananim. When they built the Egel, they lost the Hanani Hakavet. When they were stable, they lost the Anonei Kavod. But Azlo Chazren, the Anonei Kavod didn't return, Achet Chilas of the Mishkan, until they started building the Mishkan, which as Rashi says, is Kapara for the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Yarb Yom HaKippur. We all know, Rashi says in the Chumash a few times, Moshe came down from the Har Sinai the last time, the third time, on Yom Kippur. Umimachret Yom HaKippur, Vayakel Moshe. Vayakel, he commanded the Jews to build the Mishkan on Motzi Yom Kippur, on Yod Aleph Tishrei. V'zeh yabir aleph tishrei. V'chtiv ha'amav yulav od nidavava bokra bokra. V'bet yabir. For 2 mornings, they brought all the materials to donate. Hare, that's your bet and your gimel v'tishrei. V'yadal v'tishrei, not the kochachim levi moshet, has a habimini mishkal. And v'yadal it, the craftsmen took the right amount of each material. V'chamishar sar chilas, on the 15th, they started building. V'az chazer anani akavod. The anani akavod came the first time in Tishrei, in Nisan. But then we lost the Mechet HaEgel, Shavas HaPatamas. They only came back when we started building the Mishkan, which works out to be Sukkot. L'kach rolls from Sukkot, B'tesva, V'tishrei. Says the Gra, the Anani HaKavod only came back when we started building the Mishkan. Okay, he works it. You have to figure out how it really works, right? You like, 1 day for the commandment, 2 days for bringing things. He said I have to add a day for like giving things to the craftsmen and then starting to build. Maybe, but I think that with or without the session of the Gra, he's onto something. And here I'll just say them very partial. Look at number 10. Kibas Sukkot Oshatis Bnei Yisrael. Anani Akavod Hayu Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva Omer Sukkot Mamash Asu Lahem. Right? That's the Bavli, the Gemara in Sukkot. In the Sifra, the Medrash Halach has the opposite. Lamani Yidudor Seichin Kibas Sukkot Oshatis Bnei Yisrael. But Tziyo Samei Yerzim Shraim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Sukkot Mamash Hayu. Not Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer Sukkot Anani Akavod Hayu. Okay. Now, according to the Bavli, Rabbi Akiva says Sukkot Mamish. We should pass it that way. According to the Sifra, Rabbi Akiva says Anani Akavod. We always pass like Rabbi Akiva against one other Tana. We pass in 12. I already mentioned this. Basukas Teishu Shivas Yom Shulchan Aruch. Basukas Oshatis Bnei Yisrael. Hey, Anani Akavod. Sheikifam. Baham Leval Yakim Shrav Hashemesh. Is there Anani Akavod that Hashem surrounded with so that the heat and the sun would not give us heat stroke? I'm going to argue with on the Shulchan Aruch. And Chilas Frodo. Says the Shulchan Aruch, why are the Anani Akavod significant? He adds something that's not in the Gemara, not in the Sifra. Again, says the Shulchan Aruch, Heim Anani Kavod, Sheikifam Behem, that he surrounded us with, Leval Yakim Shrav Hashemesh, so that the heat and the sun would not strike us. Meaning, it's for protection. I just want to ask one deal. Anani Akavod. According to Shulchan Aruch, if we celebrate, it's a miracle on any couple. What's the miracle we celebrate? The miracle we celebrate is that Hashem protected us miraculously. Right, we know it kept the winds and it kept the rain and it kept the maybe there's no rain, so it kept the heat, it kept the cold, it killed the snakes and scorpions, Rashi said. It protected us. So why aren't they called the Anani Hamagin? Anani Hagana, the clouds of protection. The Anani Hakafa, the clouds of surrounding. Why are they called Anani Hakavod? What does Kavod mean? We all know what Kavod means, right? Glory, honor, something. Why, if it's about Hashem protecting us, now, I'm all in. I'm with the Shulchan Aruch. I agree we should thank Hashem for protecting us for 40 years in the Midbar. I'm just asking if that's what the Gemara meant. Anani Hakavod. What's Kavod? Where's the Kavod there? It always bothered me. If it's all about Hashem protecting us, if that's the Iker and not the Tafel, then why is it Anani Hakavod? Where did the word Kavod come from? Does it say in the Chumash Kavod? Does it ever say that Anan Hashem al Amachne Yoma Mitzesim in Amachne Be'amud Eish La'ir Lahem Be'amud Anan La'an Chotam Aderet? It never says Kavod by the Anani Hakavod. Why Kavod? So, I think I have the answer. The question is, what's a sukkah? Look in Makor 13 and 14. What is a sukkah? Vayhi b'sholim sukko umonato b'tziyon, says in Tehillim. Okay? B'sholim sukko umonato b'tziyon. What is in sholim and tzion of Hashem's? His what? What of Hashem's in Yerushalayim and tzion? What's called his ma'on? The Beis HaMikdash. Sukkah means the Beis HaMikdash in Tehillim. Eicha. That's the positive. Also on the negative side. Vayachmos kagan suko shiches moado. Shichet shikach Hashem tzion moed v'shabas. Vayinatz dam pom alchmein. He destroyed like a garden his sukkah. Referring to the Korban Beis HaMikdash. Both in the good in Tehillim and in the bad. In Eicha, the Beis HaMikdash is called a sukkah. Not only the Beis HaMikdash is called a sukkah, but in Chumash, the word sukkah doesn't appear a lot in Chumash. We have Chag HaSukkot, and those sukkim. Yaakov made Sukkot once, but the word sochech, schach, is used in Chumash. Look in 15. V'hayu akruv, kruvim porsei knafayim l'mala, sochechim b'chanfeim ala kaporis. The kruvim make schach, their wings are a roof. Kruvim are schach over the kaporis, over the Aron HaEdos. 16, v'samta shemes aron eidos, v'sak posa al aron ha-parochas. The parochas is schach, they're sideways schach, for the aron ha-eidos. What is the aron ha-eidos? It's the place where, what happens in the kruvim, the aron ha-eidos? What's there? Hashem puts his shechina. Schach is the covering of Hashem's shechina. In the Chumash and in Tanakh, sukkah implies, hints at, a beis hamikdash, a mishkan. Hashem Shechina. Hiva Sukkot Shabbos Bnei Yisrael maybe means not just protection, but Hashem Shechina being with us. How is that an Anani Hakavod? What is an Anan? Fascinatingly, in almost every place in Chumash, Anan only means one thing. When I say Anan, a cloud, what do you think of? Like, you know, remember when we were kids, they taught us the different thing like cumulus and nimbus and all those other unimportant things. Maybe where the rain comes from. And it's very significant that clouds of the rain come from, because you need rain or else you're in trouble. But Anan in Chumash almost never, maybe by Noach it does, almost never means a rain cloud. What does Anan mean in Chumash? I'm just trying to figure out Shana Chazal. Look in 17. Vayhi kedaber Aaron kol hadas bnei Yisrael vayifnu al hamidbar v'hinei kedvod Hashem nirah be'anan. And Anan is the revelation of, what word were we looking for? Kavod Hashem. Kavod Hashem nirah be'anan. An Anan is the Shechina revealing itself. Okay, if you're not convinced, 18. Vahi vayom shlibi yosaboker har Sinai, the greatest revelation of Shechina ever. Vahi kolos brakin ba'anan kaved al har. Notice anan kaved. Kaved is kavod. 19. The Mishkan vahaya kavod Moshe ha'ola yemid amud ha'anan va'amar peskol v'yar Moshe. A pillar of cloud came down and talked to Moshe. The cloud didn't talk to Moshe. Hashem talked to Moshe. How does Hashem reveal himself? In a cloud. 20. Vayir Hashem be'anan vayitiyatzei Moshe on this morning's lady. Hashem came down in a cloud. 21. Vaychas ha'anan is all moed before Hashem aleis ha'mishkan. When they finally built the Mishkan, how do they know it worked? How do they know the Shechina came? Because a cloud came down and Hashem's kavod, his glory filled the Mishkan. 22. Peskol moed shetrush rasi mishra shmartin v'feras Hashem lo shemush v'chim si v'esi. What did Hashem create Aaron as soon as they built the Mishkan and the Shechina came? to camp out for how long? 7 days. That remind anyone of anything? Camping out 7 days? Aaron was going to camp out 7 days in the place of the Anan HaKavod in the Mishkan. What are we commanded to do? Camp out 7 days in a sukkah. What does a sukkah remind us? So remember, sukkah in Tanakh half the time means a Mishkan, a Beit HaMikdash. Anan in Chumash, 90% of the time, means Hashem's glory. And how do we know that? It's called Anani HaKavod. When Rabbi Eliezer says Anani HaKavod, what do they mean? They don't mean Hashem protected us. That's true, but that's the tafel, not the ikar. They mean Hashem was mashrish kinoso. Hashem dwelt among us. Hashem gave us the Beit HaMikdash and put a shechina amongst us. That's what we're remembering. I gave you my Anani HaKavod. I let you live with me. I let you live with my Mishkan. I let you live with my cloud. I revealed my presence amongst you. It's remembering that not only did we leave Mitzrayim, not only did we get the Torah, but more than that, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, the order of the three regalim, B'chag HaMatzot, B'chag Shavuot, B'chag HaSukkot, we say every day in Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim, we got the Torah, there's another step. The next step is the Beis HaMikdash. Here we may not be rebuilt right out that window. Right? It's Hashem's Shechina amongst us. It's our ongoing relationship with Hashem. Maybe that's what the Sukkah reminds us of. As a matter of fact, in 23, I won't read the whole thing, but the Gemara wants to know, how do we know a Sukkah has to be 10 fucking 12 to be kosher? You might have said, they just figured out that's like what you need to be able to sit on the floor and eat lunch. You'd be wrong. They got it from the Pesukim. How'd they get it from the Pesukim? Because the wings of the Krufim are so chichim v'chanfehem, 10 tfachim above the Kaporis, above the Aron Luchot HaBrit, above Hashem's Aron, above Hashem's Shtina. How do they know that teaches us Sukkah? Okay, well obviously, that's Sukkah, this is Sukkah. Obviously we learned Sukkah from the Kruvim's wings protecting, having a Gilui Shechin on top of the Aron. Because that's what a Sukkah is ultimately all about. Look at 24. The Mishnah Berurah quotes something. It's a Masorah, goes from there. Real Fishek, Kedushna Sukkah Gdola Ma'ol. The Kedusha Sukkah is very great. Why is the Kedusha Sukkah so great? It's compared to a carbon also. Why is the Kedusha Sukkah so great? It's a mitzvah. You know what, a shofar is also a mitzvah. A lot of things are mitzvah. The Kedusha is not all as great as the Sukkah. Why is the Sukkah's Kedusha so great? So the Mishmur doesn't say why. He just says, don't schmooze too much. Talk about Dibre Kedusha and Torah. And for sure, don't tell Lashon Hara Ruchilus. It's a good idea all the time. But why is the Kedusha, why is the Ari has a Masorah that the Kedusha at every Sukkah is like a Mikdash Ma'at? Right, as a matter of fact, remember if anyone learned Lulamagazel in YU, Sukkah 2 years ago. Right? The Ritva says that Lulav is like the carbon that Bala Ratzah is coming to please Hashem, that's what the soul mitzvah of Avera. Alpi, the real Pi Kabbalah, you have to shake Lulav in the Sukkah. Why? Because where do you bring the carbon? Of course, you bring carbon in the Mikdash, you don't bring carbon outside the Mikdash. Right? Why is the Sukkot Kedusha so great? Because Anani HaKavod. Anani HaKavod don't mean Anani protection. That's the tough end. That's the side effect. Anani HaKavod means Anani Hashem's glory. If you assume that the Sukkah is all about the deep relation with Hashem, the closeness of Hashem, Hashem revealing himself in our encampment in the Midbar, Hashem, us living with Hashem, V'shachanti B'tocham. Now, let's go full circle. With or without the Grudge Teshvan, when is the best time of the year that we can really celebrate our being with Hashem, Hashem's Shechina amongst us? Stam in the middle of the baseball season, football season, basketball season? When is the best time of the year to celebrate Hashem's Shechina, celebrate our close relationship with Hashem? Obviously, after Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. After Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, what have we been doing? We've just been purifying ourselves, just been getting rid of our Averos. We've just leaned on Yom Kippur. Hashokhein Itah, that Hashem is dwelling amongst us. Only when we have the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, only when we're in the Madrega of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, maybe then we're really ready to celebrate Hashem's Shechina amongst us. On Pesach, we can celebrate our freedom. On the Madrega, we're on. On Shavuos, we got the Torah. Hopefully on the Madrega, we're appreciating the Torah. If we have the Madrega of Mikdash, we need a little more help. Maybe only after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur can we really be on the Madrega of Mikdash, where we're ready to celebrate Sukkot and to remember the Anane HaKavod. Obviously, every Sukkah, even though Kedusha and Gedola P.D.R.E. is not quite the Beis HaMikdash that's going to be built outside that window, hopefully before next Sukkot. But maybe that's the deepest level of Sukkot. So we've seen, I'm not going to do them, my time's really up, we've seen 6 different answers, 5 in the Rishonim, and 1 that's already in the Gra, and we just developed a little more, 2. what Sukkot, why Sukkot is in Tishrei, which is really what Sukkot is all about. And I think that all the messages of all the Rishonim, of course, are timeless, but two particularly timeless messages for us. Number one, on the level of Hashem, our relationship with Hashem and Gashmius, to remember when we leave our nice houses and go into flimsy huts, even though we're not farmers anymore, it reminds us that no matter how hard we've worked, no matter how much we've done for ourselves, no matter how confident we feel about our own efforts, the credit really goes to Hashem, and we're just doing our hishtablus. And on the level of a spiritual asif, you know, the Hasidim say, it's chag ha'asif, because we've gathered up all our zechuyot in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You know, really, it might even be, Anani Yaakovod might really be true to Shomotra. Sukkah means Beis HaMikdash most places in Tanakh. And clearly, when Chazal say Anani Yaakovod, they don't mean cloud of protection. That's the tough one. They mean clouds of Hashem's glory, of Hashem's presence. We really celebrate the Madrega of Hashem's presence amongst us, which we can all taste on this level or another level. We all hope to taste on a greater level from Heruv Yameinu. That has to come in Tishrei after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We're really on the Madrega to remember that tremendous level we reached in the Midbar and aspire to reach that level of Amir Tashem Shun in our personal lives and Heruv Yameinu in our national lives as well. Wish everyone an amazing rest of Chag. Keep working on that Asif and our relationship with Hashem. And it's really, really great learning with everyone.